What is up, my fellow domestic terrorists? It is Freedom Friday. We are back with another episode. I'm your host, as always, James, and joining me, my fat little elf friend, Alan. What's going on, dude? He's so mad at me already.
I'm not mad at you.
How's your week going, man?
My week's great. You could still go fuck yourself.
But my I know. I was waiting for it. I was setting you up. But today we got a really great episode. We're going to talk about some heavy stuff. A couple weeks ago, we played the Project Veritas video where they were basically the CPS was giving the children away to human traffickers. And there was little houses. There was houses and stash houses that they were keeping these kids with, you know, 12 grown men and two little boys. It was disgusting. And our guests today do a lot of work down at the border, looking into some of these houses and saving some of these children. They do unbelievable work. And Jason's sitting here in studio with me. I'm super excited to have him here. He's a good friend of mine. And Brandy, you see her in the chat every single week. Welcome to the show, guys. They run Stay in the Light, Stay in the Fight, and they do unbelievable work, you know, fighting against human trafficking. And God bless them, because it's, I don't know how they do it. It's so dark and so heavy. So guys, tell us a little bit about what you do and what Stay in the Light, Stay in the Fight is.
Oh man. First off, thanks everyone for being here. And Justin, Alan, for having us on, you know,
Justin,
or I told you, see, he's here. He's here, bro.
He's definitely here.
So James, you know, having me here, and we were talking about that before the show, like the only other time I've been in an environment like this is with Justin. So it's bringing a lot of that back and bringing, you know, mine and James's relationship closer. And, you know, as we continue this fight, because, you know, that it was it was on Justin's heart as well, you know.
Yeah, he was down there with you.
Yeah, he was down there with us. So thanks for having us on. You know, it's always an honor, privilege to, you know, be able to serve for God and just and have a platform to talk about that. Right. It is some deep, heavy stuff. Some things we'll be talking about tonight. You know, it's takes a lot of prayers. Right. It takes a lot of encouragement from the community and, you know, some work on that. So, you know, you guys get prayed up and, you know, stay protected with that whole armor of God. And, you know, the only way to the other side of something is through it. Right. And we have to address it.
Oh, thanks for being here. And I, you know, Brandy's in our live chat just about every show.
We love her.
You know, she's always lighting up the chat. So it's you know, nice to actually put a live face with the with the name and everything. I want to know, you know, how you guys got started, what made you guys start this organization, and just like where the journey took you into now you're literally working hard to save kids being trafficked. Where did it all start?
It started a few years back, actually a couple months after the first Q drop. And Paradise, California, the fire, right, when they were all burned out there. You know, I had a lot of questions and was waking up and just started participating and really getting involved in what was going on as this world was shifting, right, because I didn't trust nothing. And staying the light, staying the fight has always been a vision of, you know, the people, the community coming together. Q was the template. Man, if we want something different, we have to create something different, right? And my heart has always been in the kids and this human trafficking and bringing light to the darkness, right? Infiltrating, going into Comet Ping Pong Pizza and, you know, just gathering intel that, you know, people, they're still digging on it, right? Just rabbit holes and treasure troves of little webs that are weaved into all this human trafficking and stuff through this. And so it was always a vision, and I would go out solo, man. And finally, after, you know, a couple years and being in Texas and standing up for the kids and being real involved in the Trump train, I met Brandy and, you know, some other people that are involved on the board of operations, right? Because we're a 501c3 now. So we can get that funding to really help these kids, right? Is the goal. So I'm just a bull in the china shop. I'm the face. I'm the dummy that gets out on the streets. And Brandy and George and Zach, they're the nuts and bolts, right? Because what was happening was I was going out there and all these spiritual attacks. And I'm out there by myself and I'm just trying to wake the world up and I'm trying to like just heal, right? And raise awareness and save these kids. And just, it was beat my spirit, and I couldn't do the other stuff, right? That's the power of the collective. And where we go one, we go all, that when we come together, right? Like, my part can be amplified because people like everybody else, right? You guys that put on the podcast and stuff. So Brandy and Georgiana came along, man, and they have turned it into, you know, really to where we can have opportunities and get funding. And we'll announce some of those things tonight, what we're doing, but to really get involved and not just me being out on the street screaming and trying to, you know, save every kid I can. Now we have different opportunities to be able to do that too. So that's where Staying the Fight came from. And that's how we got where we are now, is through Brandy and Georgiana and some other board members. So I'll let Brandy introduce herself. And
yeah, definitely. Hey, Brandy.
Hello. Thank y'all, first of all, for having me. Yes, I love y'all's show, so it's an honor to be here with y'all. And
she's share, every week.
And share instead of in the comments. What Jason said as far as where, you know, where Staying the Light started, it was definitely all him. And I ran across him 2 years ago. Me and my husband were doing Trump Train, and he showed up, and he was a bright light in that group.
Brandy was doing Trump Train with the Maceros, actually.
Yes, we were. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was actually talking to them yesterday, actually.
She's friends with Robert and Joey Lynn.
Yeah. They're amazing. They're good people. That one event brought a lot of good people together. And so I started watching him silently. You know, I'm a mom. I'm particularly stay at home, but I'm starting to pick up different things, as you're going to hear tonight. But it's definitely something that caught my heart when I started watching him, watching Jason silently. He didn't know I was watching him. I was seeing the Patriot Roundup and a couple of different things that were dropped, and knew that there was something bigger going on with him, and it was going to happen. Something was going to happen. And then I saw him down at the border, and still didn't have any involvement personally in it, but started watching and saw Justin show up. And thank God for the publicity they got on that. And they showed, you know, Justin being the cameras are everywhere guy.
New York Times writing articles.
Right, when he was pulling up, New York Times was there. It was fucking great. Classic.
Well, so it was basically at the border. This what you were doing was more of like trying to just expose on the human trafficking that's going on at the border of children and things like that. And
well, I went out there to be of service to these kids, and I brought a fifth wheel, and I stayed out there for a couple weeks with my son and my dogs on the dirt road with the border wall right here, 2 feet behind us, and the cartel ranch is behind us. And there were five holes.
I remember seeing photos of that. And what were you doing with these
kids? It's true. Right. So we would get the kids, and we would pray with them. We would feed them out of big old kitchen going. We were cooking all kinds of food, man. The community came together, donated a couple $1,000 between that and merchandise, right? Sold some shirts, some Let's Go Brandon shirts. We were putting all the kids in Let's Go Brandon shirts. Feeding them, praying with them, but... Well, not only that, what we were doing was we were getting their sponsors' names and phone numbers. We were allowing them to call their sponsors. Okay. Right? Because as a researcher, as somebody who knows what's going on, I'm gathering data at the same time. Right? So now I got the sponsors' phone numbers. Now we can pull up background checks. We can pull up addresses, see who lives at these phone numbers in these houses and who they're connected to. Right. And see where these kids are going.
That's exactly what Project Veritas did. And they showed up to these houses and they find it's like 12 grown men and two little boys that have no relation to any of the 12 grown men. They're just there.
Yes.
They verified what Jason was saying when he was down there, that God was telling him was happening. And if you watched, you know, you can't watch it now because it was taken down. But what I was watching live and not personally involved yet, I was seeing these kids come through, and I have a video I was going to try to find here shortly and send it over. Jason had mentioned it last night on another podcast we had done, where there was a child that came over and there was a guy on the other side of the wall, and he was threatening the kid with a lasso, intimidation with a lasso. And this kid comes over and he's terrified, absolutely terrified. And the people you would see come through, it was heartbreaking. You could tell they were scared. They didn't know what was going on. And for a little bit of time, when they would bring them over to the, what I'm going to call camp area, and cook for them and pray with them and get an interpreter on the phone to explain what they were doing, it was amazing to see that a lot of these kids, the first thing they wanted to do was pray. No matter where they come from, no matter what our language, they were given an option. Did they want to eat? Did they want to pray? Did they want to get, you know, new clothes if they needed it? And they wanted to pray.
Wow. Were you finding a lot of kids coming over alone?
Oh, yeah. I was out there between, it was about 2.5-3 weeks almost. And I think it was 96 unaccompanied minors. The youngest unaccompanied without a parent was a little boy who was 4 years old and his 9-year-old sister that came from Honduras.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's absolutely insane.
What caught my eye too is the fact that I would watch him ask where they're from. And you would see these kids and these young adults, more young adults than older. You might see what I'm seeing through Facebook that he's showing us live. So I know it's what he's seeing is maybe a man or two coming through. But obviously the man's pretty much put there with that group. And these people.
Protecting their investment. These kids were bought. They were already bought, man. They were sold already.
Yeah, probably you know, done evil, disgusting things to on the way up. You know, we know how these cartels operate.
The whole time up, they're under the control of the cartel.
Yep, the whole entire
they're a commodity time. From day
we've
one.
We've seen photos of the rape trees. We've seen video footage of them going through these camps. It's disgusting. It's pure evil. They threaten with fear and violence and. These kids know no better. They're little kids.
No. It's funny. You know, I have a 10-year-old girl, and I'm thinking of a 4-year-old and an 8-year-old, you know, not even 8-9-year-old brother and sister, you know, making this ridiculous trek with then not their parents, maybe with some strangers grouped in with a group, but they're on their own. They're on their own. And I'm thinking to myself, I won't let my 10-year-old walk around my block by herself.
Like, exactly.
It's wild. Yeah. It's real.
Let alone
multiple, from Honduras,
multiple countries.
But yeah, so
it was the toughest thing I've ever done, Alan. Like, right. And then so after a certain amount of time, I would have to call Border Patrol. Right. To come pick up these kids. And I know what's happening to them.
Yeah.
Right. So gathered all that data and just showed it in its entirety.
Were you calling some of their sponsors?
I've got live video. Yeah. I was Facebook live in them. I was getting addresses. I was tricking them. Yeah. I was, oh dude, there was one. So Alex, a lady comes across with like a 30, 40 day old baby and a little girl. Right. And I said, you want to use the phone to call your husband? Right. And so I tried to, because it was a little weird, right? And the baby was new. So I did the FaceTime on the Samsung.
Yeah.
Right. The video call. And I show his face and I'm like, hey, I have your wife here and the baby. Have you seen your baby yet? Your son? He is beautiful. Do you want to see him? And he's like, yeah, yeah. So I give her the phone and the reaction. There was no emotion. You would think to see your baby son, your brand new newborn son for the first time, like the mom would be happy in the baby, right? And then I'm going to read, I saved all this. I'm going to read you the text message he sent.
So it almost sounded like the no reaction. He wasn't the father.
No, he was the, exactly. He was her handler.
Right.
So he texted me, right? He says, I am very grateful for you helping my wife. She was locked up with the people who locked her up and did not let her out. And she gave birth to the baby in their house. She only ran away because we had no other option. If you would please me explain to Border Patrol that they are taking her to a hospital to check the baby because she does not speak English. Thank you and God bless you. So the husband wanted me to convey to Border Patrol that the baby was born in the United States of America. Right. Because then it's immediate. So that him saying he was captured gave birth to the baby and escaped and went to Mexico, red flags.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. So major red flag. I told him, hey, brother, we're going to send you a care package for your family. What's a good address to send it to?
Nice.
This fucking idiot sends me an address. He sends me because he thinks he's going to get some free shit, right? These motherfuckers, they always want something for nothing.
Yeah.
And so dig up the address. And the out of four of the five people that are registered at that address were from previous digs that I did on Operation 1009 and exposing the cartel.
Wow. Right
prior to that. Same family, same bloodline, same shit going on. It's a revolving circle in it. They have everything, right? But
it's a giant network.
Yeah, it's a giant network.
How many sponsors that you called turned out to be like just not legit? Like they were handlers. They was all part of the operation, the trafficking.
I knew you were gonna ask me this. Out of 90 something kids,
ballpark. I mean,
there was three instances, three phone calls.
Three phone calls that you knew these people were not legit and that they were
legit.
Only three were legit. Only three
out of the 90.
Jesus.
Three, Alan. Fucking no. Killed me.
What made you say that even those three were legit? How did you vet that?
I could see the emotion, right? I'm an emotions guy. I feel, right? I'm really involved, old dope fiend prison. Like, my heart is just so huge. I'll cry wherever. You know what I mean? Like,
sure. You're talking to the biggest emotionless person ever.
I could see it in them. I could feel that. The relief. Right. The parents would cry knowing that they made it over. But we saw in that Project Veritas video, that 16-year-old girl who she said they've been selling her out. She was like, my mom said it was my aunt. I don't remember her, though. Right. Yeah. But they're keeping me out like this 16, 15-year-old girl is telling you this. Right. And I am so grateful that they blurred out them faces.
Yeah.
Because I can almost guarantee some of them kids that I got to hug on and pray with and love on and just be that light for a minute, right? And give them a little bit of hope and humanity and really start, you know, get involved and finding a way to, you know, be a solution to that, man.
When those 96 unaccompanied kids came over and you were feeding them and giving them clothes and calling their sponsors and doing whatever you could to make the transition easier for the kids in the hopes that they weren't going to end up as sex slaves, after they left your presence, like, where did they end up? Did they end up in the custody of Border Patrol?
Well,
like,
Border Patrol picks them up. They bring them down to the holding tanks, and then they ship them off to where their sponsors are. That's how they're paid for it. Right. I'm going to send James this. Go ahead, Brandy. But real quick, I'm going to send James this video. Mm-hmm. Alan, if you can play it, it's like 3 minutes long.
I'll try. I'll give it a shot.
Okay.
So the key here too with sponsorship, you know, everyone needs to understand that since Clinton, through one of the nonprofits we align with, Shepherd's Watch, we went back, I was talking with her and she was telling me how since Clinton, and I verified that as well, there's been no background checks on sponsors. And as of right now, anyone with any background, they can be wanted in another country, they can be here illegally, doesn't matter. And we saw on Project Veritas, there was 40-something kids at one point or 20-something at another, registered to one address. You can pay $525 and you can sponsor a child. No questions asked.
You just said something, Brandy, about in the Clinton administration.
Mm-hmm.
You just said that I had a client in one of my businesses who was a supervising investigator in Homeland Security, who would actually go and when his unit's job was when people that came here illegally did not show up for their court dates, they would basically go like almost like a fugitive apprehension team and go and find these people and see if they can get them in. Now he had told me, now he was there a long time, and he said it was so overwhelmed during the Clinton administration that Bill Clinton came from the White House, the letter to Homeland Security was enough with the background checks. Do bare bones vetting and get him in. Bare bones vetting and get him in. And it was an actual letter from the White House, you know, through the channels. This is what needs to happen. And they couldn't believe it. Where now it was like, now we're just letting everybody in. We don't know who these people are. We can't do our job and do these extensive background checks and vet these people. It's just, no, get them in, get them in, get them in, get them in, get them in. And that was it. And that was under.
Now we know why.
Yeah. And then, then you see videos of the border, what's going on. And then the president decides to make his first visit. And all of a sudden, all of that stuff decides to just poof. Yeah. Magically disappear.
Stop the tape for a minute.
Well, and according to a gentleman, and I don't know his name off the top of my head, but there's a guy who I saw a Telegram video. He lives out in El Paso? El Paso.
Yeah, that was where Joey Baggy Donuts went.
And I love that you call him that. And Donnie cracks me up. Big Donnie. When he went, he didn't even go down those streets they cleaned up.
No, he spent most of his time in a secure Border Patrol facility parking lot, took a little photo op with a few agents by the wall, walked around, looked at some equipment, and got back. He was literally there a total of 3 hours.
Listen here, Jack.
You know, yeah, listen here, Jack. The
border. I went down to the border, and it's totally fine. It's the best border I've ever seen. Like,
now, I got to get back to the White House because we're letting TikTok trannies take over the press box and make videos.
Yeah, and steal luggage at the airport.
Steal luggage.
And shut down the airport.
Hey, at least when they said it was a movie, they put a lot of comedy to it, right? When you could really see a transition happening, like – What president has ever shit himself in the Vatican?
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's classic. They're like, all right, we're going to make this dude shit himself in the Vatican, and then it's going to get out, and people are going to know about it. Like, how do you take
some of these
the president of the world, you know what I mean, of our country, like, serious when that's the shit he's doing?
Some of these stories and storylines are absolutely unbelievable. Like, I never in my wildest dreams did I think we'd be talking about some of the things that we're talking about. Like
the transgender dude stealing light shit from the airport, the luggage.
Yeah.
By his guy. Like, what?
Dylan Mulvaney's getting more and more surgeries, shitting and pissing in buckets in a fucking hot, laid up in a hospital.
What? Literally, you know, I don't know. Was it one of our shows where we talking about it, James? I'm not sure, but I equate Dylan Mulvaney to the Liver King. They were both thought up.
We were talking about this on the show.
Yeah, they were both thought up in a boardroom. You know, Dylan Mulvaney, he was a Broadway actor. He was an actor. And this whole thing was brought upon him. And, you know, sometimes it makes me think if he's even really like into what he's really doing, or if they have something on him, or if it's just an agenda that they're pushing for big money.
A 70 of womanhood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My Barbie pouch.
My bar. Oh, my God.
Carries around tampons.
Yeah, there's thick, heavy flow. And
just in case he's in Walmart and some behemoth needs a pad and he's running around.
Now they're running around saying they're getting periods and shit. And they're like, oh my God, I'm getting my first period. If I have to deal with this every month, I'm going to kill myself.
Not to go off the rails, but did you see the
thing? Friday.
Did you see the thing? I was watching a YouTube video where they were taking tomato juice and they were freezing it into cylinder shapes. And they were shoving it up their asses to simulate periods.
No,
this is real. Yep, this is
Jason. It's a real thing. Google it on YouTube.
Are so mentally ill.
Are literally making tomato ice cubes.
They get tomato paste. Right. They freeze tomato paste.
Wow. Shoving it up their
real
ass.
Heavy, real thick, heavy flow, Alan.
And letting it melt. Oh, and popping a laxative. Why, I don't know, but popping a laxative. Oh, that's what it was. Popping the laxative.
I didn't hear this part.
Yes, to simulate menstrual cramps. And then melt, and it shows on the pad. This is the sickness. This is the sickness.
Like, if you want to be a girl and go do your thing, go for it. But like, Stop pretending. Like, if you have to go that far to shove frozen tomato paste up your asshole and so you eat laxatives, and eat laxatives so you can simulate feeling a period, you might have mental issues. You should probably get checked out.
That is literally, literally what they're doing. I don't know what the purpose is of that. That the mental instability runs so deep that they need that. But anyway, it doesn't matter. So forget about the trannies. Let's I'm gonna get back to the important stuff. So like, what are you guys? You're a 501c3, right? And so, what are you guys doing, like currently or ongoing, or have plans to do? As far as, well, so, Jewel in the Facebook chat, yes, this organization, that's exactly what they're trying to do, is save children. They're trying to do whatever they can to expose more of the human trafficking, to do what they can to help prevent the human trafficking, like going down to the border and helping these kids along and vending sponsors and everything else. There was a question in the chat I just wanted to answer.
No, thank you, because I can't see the chat. Did you get that video? Chat.
Emailed it to you.
Yeah, I'll work on that.
It's a YouTube video, so you should be able to play it.
Okay, I'll work on it.
Okay, so what we're doing now, you know, why, and one of the reasons we created the 501c3 is to be able to get more funds available, right? Because it's a 501c3, businesses and people can donate and write that off in the tax season, right? However, all that works, you know, so it gives you more opportunities. And so up until recently, I just go down the border, gather this footage and do what I can, you know, when I can. And so now we've created and we've teamed up with Shepherd's Watch Foundation, some friends of mine, and we're going to be, the vision's always been the emergency shelters, right? Create more safe places for these kids to go to, because they don't have nowhere safe, right? As a rescued, as a getting away from these situations where these people are raping on them, right? And trafficking them in different things. So, you know, because it's always like the solution, right? Like, let's create the solution. Let's figure out what we can. What were you going to say, Brandy?
So, yeah, let me add real quick. So one of the things, too, is that Shepherd's Watch has seen where they're seeing these cases on our streets here in the United States. They may start out as something very small. I mean, it's not small, a small case. And it ends up having trafficking that might be linked back. So what Jason's sharing also isn't going to be just focused on border. It's going to be for children in crisis, not just border children.
Right, not just border children, just
yeah. I mean, children. Any children are in.
It definitely goes beyond the border.
Instead of having to get all the funding to create these emergency shelters for the kids in these communities, we're teaming up with some. They're called child advocacy centers, mm-hmm. right? And they're non-government funded, and they're going to allow us to have a room, whatever we want to build and add on to that facility and man that how we want, like with these nurses, right? Through this movement, and guys, while I remember now, I'm going to say it on the website, stayinthelightstayinthefight.com, there's a Join the Fight tab. And when you go to that Join the Fight tab, what it's asking you is like, what I mean by us being the solution, we all have to create something different, right? We have to be that. Right. So when you go to the Join the Fight tab right there, you can fill out the form and say how you want to be involved, where you're at, what your services are. So we have nurses that have walked away from this corrupt system, right? As they're learning what's going on with these kids and stuff. We have doctors. We have just people from the community, man.
That want to help.
That want to help.
And the key to these nurses, Alan, that's so different than just a shelter to take children to, is they're going to have sane nurses, which are nurses that are already qualified for sexual assault nurse examinations. So they will be able to examine them and will also be able to give them the mental help that we can, trauma-wise, with someone that's experienced in trauma, not just taking a child to an emergency shelter and then be transported, because we've learned that 90% of all the children who are in crisis, no matter where they're from, they're lost in transport.
Right.
But the people that need them need to, you know, they need to get to help. Yeah. So
are you going to be partnering, or have you partnered at all with any I am medical facilities, mental health facilities, or I guess you're already partnering with professionals or even like non-government agent, like other agencies and charities.
Shepherd's Watch Foundation is another 501c3, and they go out and they train their community what to look for. They also go out, they do private investigation work, and they break up these human trafficking rings and different stuff like that, right? And they're licensed. This is what they do. You know, they're key witnesses in trials for this trafficking.
They know what we need as well to be able to prosecute things. Where most, you know, a lot of things get lost. We all know that and never get prosecuted because of lack of evidence or, you know, the recordable that they need
to cooperate. I mean, the lack of cooperation I'm imagining from a lot of these people is big because they're fearful for their life. They're fearful for their parents' lives. You know, a lot of people don't realize these children come over, and there's I guess you can even say there's a bounty on their head. There's a price on their head that they people paid a lot of money to get here, and even families put up their children as payment. Like, here, take my kids. You're going to make them, whether you're going to have them committing crimes, you're going to have them as sex slaves or whatever else it is. We need to get to America to have a better life. And this is the way to do it, through the nefarious ways of the cartels and the smugglers. And they're a very well-oiled machine, those cartels and smugglers. I mean, there's no
doubt. They have spotters across the board. They're on helicopters. There's spotters across the entire way. It's a very sophisticated operation. This is not something that's like done all willy-nilly. They know exactly what they're doing. They send the big migrant, like the migrant caravans over, so they could transport drugs a couple miles down the road. Yep. It's really just like, look over here, so we could do all this other shit over here. And they're winning both ways. They're like double dipping, because the human trafficking, there's no overhead. They manipulate or steal these children and these families very easily to send them across the country. Now they make them pay through debt slavery all this money, like we talked about with Natalie when she was on the show.
Now, that was you said the Shepherd's Watch Foundation, right?
Yes.
Correct. They're a sex and human trafficking nonprofit, out of East Texas.
Is most of your I guess your base is in that Texas area, or
that's where they're at. I've been down to Arizona. That's the only place I've been. I want to work it down to Texas and, you know, wherever, man. I just go to communities wherever we're needed, and, you know, encourage communities to participate in that, right? To be the solution. Not only just down at the border for a little time, right? But going to school board meetings, getting involved in the PTA, holding people in the community accountable. Right?
So, one of the things, like Jason said, he's talking about a couple events, because we actually have a lot of a couple different projects going on. I get so pumped too. So we've got, you know, just like he was sharing, that we're going to align with Shepherd's Watch and make these room transformations in the advocacy centers. But we're also, as our own mission is to, we are compiling a human trafficking awareness program that is Stay in the Light, just us, not aligned with them, but where we're going to, we want people to go in and send us a message and let us know at info@stayinthelight, stay in the fight. You know, if you want to get us in your area to roll out a human trafficking awareness event so that to your community, so that you're aware of what's going on. We're getting very real-time information. One of the things I wanted to share, it's like you said, every child, when we go back to think of the border, every person that goes to that border has paid a price. And from the border event, one of the boots on the ground that me and our president did with Shepherd's Watch alongside of them is we went to the border event in Houston. And we watched Lara Logan and Jason Jones. And you know who that is from DPS, former DPS.
Yeah, I've got Jason on the show. Jason does great work down there.
That event showed us that every single head, they've paid between $4,000 to $30,000.
But per child,
per person, not even child, per person that is brought to that border to be smuggled into the United States.
Right.
So. Wow. Yeah. So
I've heard amounts up to like 6,000.
Yeah, I had never heard it that high. I would not believe that had I not heard it come out of Jason's mouth himself. It was incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said, Jason told me when he was on the show, I actually got to text Jason and get him on the show. He told me that it depends on where you're from and where you're trying to get into the country. So
yes.
if you're from Mexico, it's like 2K. And this was going back 2 years ago when he told me this. So I'm sure prices have changed since inflation has gone up. I'm sure.
Yeah, it's over $10,000.
Well, I'm sure the cartel has changed. So if you're from Mexico, it was $2,000. If you're from the middle of Central America, it was $5,000. If you're from the Middle East, it was $10,000. And you got colored wristbands so you could determine as to where you were from. And that's what the wristband that we saw in those migrant caravans back in the day when we were all covering George Soros, sending these buses up there of people in flip flops, perfectly white T-shirts, just marching through the streets.
Brand new cell phones.
And some of the things I learned that opened my eyes to it more with just making sure that, you know, I realized that this could happen to our children too. They're all our children. They're all God's children. But just as quick as someone can come through that border, don't think your child can't go out. I just saw a report and I haven't been able to verify, so I'm not going to give any sources of anything, but I did see a report where there's possibly a 16-year-old American girl that's missing in Mexico. And because of her mom being a whistleblower, Mexican authorities aren't wanting to stand up and look for this child. And so it's big for me when I went to that border event and I wanted to share, you know, live that we've got to pay attention to what's going on in our child's lives.
Yeah.
It's
more than important. I just want to address one more thing in the chat. Yeah, they are a 501c3. They're a human trafficking awareness program, but they're also on the ground helping people. Like, I don't know. I'm just speaking to someone in the chat. They've been doing things by the border and they are
government funded.
They're not government funded. They're all over the internet. You know, like I said, the earlier we had the website up, stayinthelight.com. So you can go
actually there. Making contact with the kids that are coming across the border.
Right. Like they're making
helping them in any way that they possibly can.
However, Biden may be able to stop that here soon because he did put in a call to someone wanting to make a new law that private citizens or journalists, independent journalists, can no longer go photograph or
you saw that
contact.
Yeah. Never going to happen. You know,
hey Joey Biden, go fuck yourself.
back where you were talking about the prices on children's heads. I wanted to. So this is it's on the, I guess you, the coming over the border trafficking subject. The friends, the sources in the Border Patrol that I speak to on a regular basis, they had an issue and they have an ongoing issue in Southern California where people in this country will go online, various platforms, and they will put a car rental post online. And a lot of people from the Ukraine and Russia and other places will say, hey, we want to rent your car. Okay. And what they'll do is it'll be an American citizen. They will drive a legal, inspected, registered vehicle over the border into Tijuana. Tijuana is a city. You know, they have Walmarts. It looks like any other real city. And they will meet them there. They will hand over the keys to the car to whether it's 4, 5, 6 people at a price tag of about $3,000, $2,000, $4,000 a head, depending on what the deal was. Mm-hmm. And then what they'll do is the migrants will get in the car and drive right up to the checkpoint and say, here we are at asylum. They take them all in. They impound the vehicle. No law has been broken. They impound the vehicle. Vehicle goes into Border Patrol impound. That person that rented them the vehicle, they'll run the plate. They'll call that person and say, hey, we have your car. We impounded it. Why is it here? And that person says, oh, well, what do you mean? I rent out my car. I rented it to somebody. I don't know what they were doing with it. And they go pay $300 to get the car out of the impound. they just made $9,000-$10,000 for the trip. The overhead's very low. Yep. And then they will do it again with the same car, and there's nothing they can do. They can't arrest the person that owns the car. They can't keep the vehicle. And Border Patrol agents that I talked to said they've had the same car impounded 3 times in a month, 2 times in a week, like literally, and it just keeps going.
Same plates and everything. Like,
it's like taking just my car and renting it out twice a month. And I just spend
$3,000 to get it out. That app called Turo, where you could rent an app.
Right.
So we were talking last night in that podcast and on Facebook Marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They'll advertise these kids. They'll sell them in garage sales. Jeez. Right. And the ads. Right. And these guys, they know it's all comms, right? They know what to search for, especially with Facebook and some of these platforms where they advertise.
Twitter, especially, yeah. Where child porn was a huge issue.
Yeah. All that came out.
They did absolutely nothing until Elon Musk bought it.
Mm-hmm. Look what they had to clean up. How many years
ago? Buying Google. Right. And then Facebook, you know?
How many years ago did they have to clean up Craigslist because of what was going on there? And I'm sure there are still ways, a back page, another one.
So they just put them in different platforms, right? And we did a show last night on, you know, Brandy's channel, the True Channel on Telegram, where we had Kelly Fritzy from Shepherd's Watch on there talking about a lot of this stuff, right? And talking about how they were operating and, you know, all the nuts and bolts of that. Like, it's all comms. They have these servers that are overseas that with like 10 pages attached to them, right? One gets taken down, they just put it right back on there. They put them in Facebook, they still put them on Craigslist, they put them on Twitter.
Going back to Backpage, I pulled it up, and it's so funny. It's interesting that the domain, that they actually kept it up, which is very wild to me, because April 6, 2018, the FBI seized the Backpage website. And I remember when this happened, and literally this has been exactly like this since April 6, 2018. Backpage.com and affiliated websites have been seized as part of an enforcement action by the FBI, the U.S. Postal Inspection Service, and the IRS Criminal Investigation Division, with analytical assistance from the Joint Regional Intelligence Center. Other agencies are participating, blah, 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 blah. The U.S. Department of Justice Child Exploitation and Obscenity Section, the U.S. Attorney General's of the Central District of California, the Office of the California Attorney General, and the Office of the Texas Attorney General. That it's just, and then it says a back page record certification request should be sent to, and there's an FBI email. And it's wild that this is just even just still up screen here.
It's nothing new, Alan. They'll figure out a way, one way or another. Well, the internet, as much as we hate censorship, they don't censor the right things.
Oh, right. Of course.
It's very difficult to sit here and say the internet should be free and fair when you see shit like this. And so
one of the things she was sharing last night, Fritzy, was that there was a ad that was put up. And one of the ways, and it ties into what Jason saw as well, you have to pay attention to what the children are wearing when you see these things show up. Some of them you'll see very well taken care of. Like Jason, I was going to share with when he was down there, I was going to say earlier that, you know, these kids would say they're from Guatemala and they've been walking 15 days, but they come over in perfectly nice clothes already whenever they're approaching them.
I don't get that.
In the cartel, this is exactly what it is, right? This is a tough one. So we would see little burn piles going on behind us on this cartel ranch. A couple cartel guys around it, and these kids will come through in these brand new clothes. They're making them presentable for their buyers.
Wow. So they're taking their clothes, making them change, and they're burning their clothes.
Sour. Burning their old clothes, putting them in all this new Disney, Nike, Adidas.
Because they invest in them to they're going to invest in their, you know. It's
literally like when you're selling a car, yes. You got to make sure you take it to the detail. Give it a little
switch on, yeah. Yes.
Yep. Wow.
And so she was saying how, you know, you can watch these marketplaces and these Facebook ads and, you can tell that, and she showed one of the border events pictures they showed where there was a girl, and she couldn't have been no more than 12 or 13, and they didn't dress her up. That's the sickening part of this. It all goes with the maps and all the bullshit we've been hearing about. You know, they want to make all that normal, and it's never going to be normal. But they don't even cover up these girls' ages on Facebook, and they set them, they position them to where they're on. You can say, you know, you can see like they're window shopping, and there's an older girl beside them that's real dressed up in a dress. And if you see that child sitting there with her, typically they don't look like they're happy. You can tell by the body language that something's definitely going on. They don't have no idea who this chick is they're taking a picture with, and they don't want to be there. But if you notice the child has dirty shoes, and that's what she was pointing out, typically that child doesn't have long because no one even invested in them to give them new shoes before selling them. It's horrific.
I don't know what to say to it.
If it does end up working, but in that video it shows that like these kids,
I actually have the one that this the highlights down at the first week of the border.
Yes.
All right, I'll tell you what. How about we play it now? Give me 1 second. We'll bring this up. I have it here, and here it is. Right.
Yes.
And we'll play it. Here we go. Hold on. Let me just fix the volume here. There we go.
Some folks are born, made to wave the flag. Got them with their backs. There they go. Five of them. Five of them came across. Six of them. Ooh, that point the cannon at you. Now, it ain't me. It ain't me. Get them plates right from here. I ain't no senator, song.
That's crazy. Look at those babies.
They're so young.
Wow. It's a kid like 14
years. Texas Longhorn shirt.
Here I am.
I have no idea the Texas Longhorns are.
So crazy. And this isn't even a scratch on the surface of what's happening.
No. Not even close.
Kids probably never ate so good.
Smiles. For one little moment in time, they got
yeah, like look at that little girl smiling.
I love that one.
That's my son Dallin right there. He's a good kid. Dylan.
My man Dylan. Dylan. It's crazy to see. Like, you hear the stories. But it's crazy to see everything that's going on down there.
I mean, once they're in facilities and they're out there, and that's it.
Well, we see through the Project Veritas video exactly what's happening. They go directly to these houses. Like, the Border Patrol rounds them up. Doesn't mean that they're getting sent back or taken care of at all.
All right, we're ready.
And this is what they wanted to do. They wanted to come and pray. Eat.
Pedimos que cuidas todo cada uno de nosotros y a esos señores que están vigilando, están tratando de ayudar a los demás a llegar a un buen futuro y que llegan muy bien y que nadie olvidamos que ustedes siempre con nosotros. Al nombre de Jesús, amén.
Amen. Thank you.
All right. Kids in a North Face sweatshirt.
So we'll go through the process. I'll have. I'm gonna start getting some food ready. I'll cook up some hamburgers and.
The clothes they're in. That's what they came over with, Jason. That they're in right here, right?
Ready with Adidas.
Name
right off the cartel ranch.
Their age. Let's talk
it's probably a straight up Walmart in the cartel ranch.
Parents, how you know, guys, they come across, how they are.
They have so many phone numbers.
Big microphone.
The beer, anything they need, you know. Just
we have so many phone numbers of these sponsors. Whenever you guys want to dig on them or you know reach out to help, like that's what we did. We gathered all this. Right? We have all that on video of these kids calling their sponsors.
Do you ever give any of the information and send it over to Project Veritas?
They're not going.
That's a whole nother story for another day. But yeah, I've tried, you know, some different things.
So they get to where they're going. We don't need to do all that and put that fear in them, but we just need to instill in them that we're here to help and not just through this process, but we've got digital soldiers and we got people researching on these phone numbers and these houses that these guys are going to, guys, because we have follow-up crews that go and make sure that these guys are okay and do the best that we can with the resources that we have right now. So I'm gonna turn this over to Rhonda and the kids and just thank all you guys that are in the live stream for being here. And if you guys can share this and get it out, our intent here is to show this in its entirety from the beginning process to the end. To show you guys it's not all the orgasms and rainbows and butterflies that we're led to believe by the mainstream media. To show this in its entirety and what really happens in the reality of this human trafficking. And to encourage you guys and to show you how effective your energy can be if you decide to participate in something. And it doesn't take a lot. It takes a little bit of love and uncompassion. Service and we pay triples that change lives for generations to come. So with that being said, I'm gonna go get some food ready and turn this over to Rhonda and these beautiful kids, and Zach's gonna live stream for you guys. So
that's wild. It really is wild.
So there's a YouTube link on the website. Stay in the light, stay in the fight.com. There's a YouTube link at the bottom and you can watch those videos. A lot of those videos there.
They took all the ones that I did with Justin off though. I don't know what they did to his platform, but we have them all on Rumble. Go over there. They're on there.
Yeah, they're on Rumble. YouTube.
Fuck YouTube.
YouTube doesn't like us.
Yeah. They took them off. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Oh, so wow. They're all on Rumble. But yeah, the Rumble channel's there too.
Yeah, that links place. Well.
What's the channel on Rumble?
Stay in the light, stay in the fight.
Stay in the fight. And the website.
And there's a live link on the website. There's a live link for all the channels on the website.
So it's anyway.
Stay in the light, stay in the fight.com.
Yeah. And if those that are listening and maybe not have watching the video, you should watch the show and watch the video we just watched, about 6 minutes long. But it shows that, I mean, you have some of these newborns coming over and 6 years old.
Infants. Yeah.
Infants and, you know, 12 and 14 year olds. And they're in. They're literally in $50-$60 North Face sweatshirts that they're being clothed.
Brand new Adidas shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No dust on them.
It's
just walking thousands of miles.
Yeah.
No big deal.
I mean, and unfortunately, I mean, all those kids you just saw on the video, how many of them are literally being sold and abused? Every single one of
those ones. Or missing.
Every single one of those ones, Alan.
Yeah. It's really horrible.
Heartbreaking.
It really is. I mean, and people have.
There's plenty more videos like that on the YouTube and the Rumble channel.
Rumble has all the YouTube channel, all the YouTube over there now.
So you just go to Rumble. It has the kid on there with the cartel walking up next to him with the lasso, and us having the interpreter on the phone, and the interpreter saying, you know, we're saying, hey, what's that cartel telling you? Because I got it on video. I show you the cartel walking up next to him because I can hear him talking to him because the trailer's right there.
It's
right.
Too big and for me to email.
And he said that. Yeah. Huh?
No, I'm saying it's It's just all when you sit and you try to take it all in, like when you're having the actual conversation about it and you're talking about the kids and seeing it and talking to people that are helping and dealing with it, whether it's you guys and even like when Natalie Denise does it, and it's just, then it makes you think about those people in our government that are adamant about keeping this border open, even though they'll say it's closed, and want all of these people to come in and not real, like literally deny. Some of them will actually deny that this child trafficking is going on to the extent that it is, and the mainstream media, how they're carrying it. And then it goes out to their masses, their sheep. And people, like, I'll get into arguments online and I'll put something up about, whether it's a meme or whatever it is about trafficking kids. And you always get somebody saying, oh, here we go with the child, literally the child trafficking and human trafficking conspiracy theories.
Like, yeah, like
yeah. Me too.
Like, it's not happening.
Like the article New York Times wrote about us when we were down there. That's what you saw them. They were setting up that whole hit piece in that video. You see the guy in the camera. The little old lady got us. She got me, dude, because the video opens up with us chasing down that cartel, right? Yeah. They tried to sneak across and get in this vehicle and go, and I got in my truck and we just high speed chased them. And they decided to not come over and they ran back towards Mexico, and we called Border Patrol and got the chopper in the air. And they followed them all the way back. Those are ones that they were throwing all their backpacks, right? We were breaking all that up. And, you know, at the same time, you know, because they're running drugs and kids through it. Right. The kids are, that's the second most valuable commodity to them. First it's drugs, and the kids are right behind them. Right. So they're running both of them through there.
You want to explain to them, Jason, who that lady, you know, as far as like you've got your Catholic and different nonprofits that are involved in those things.
Yeah.
As Casa well. De
la Esperanza. That little old lady set us up, right, for the New York Times. Like, she came and they, after I chased these other guys down, you know, a couple days go by, about a week, and this lady's coming up and she's throwing water bottles. And what I think, but I can, you know, this is just from my own, you know, observation of the information gathered. I think it was like comms, right? With certain water bottles, she would throw them out to these hooch houses. And you see the videos on the YouTube channel or the Rumble videos. And after a while, like, I started digging on her, and they own a 501c3 called Casa de la Esperanza. Right. And they have access to these kids, right? They're on the Mexico side and the USA side. And they got all these monarch butterflies for symbolism and all the people they're tied in with. And so two guys run across the border, right, towards the little nose of her car. I get behind her, the truck, I'm gunning them down. And about fucking, I don't know, 5-8 miles down the road, probably about 5-6. Dude comes out of the side of the car with that big old camera, right? And I'm like, "Fuck, they got us."
I want to backtrack a second. Okay. Explain to me what Casa de Esperanza is.
Pull it up, Casa de la Esperanza.
Well, I have it. I just pulled it up on my phone, and I got it from Tax Exempt World. And it's a 501c3 nonprofit organization. And if this is it, I mean, because it's also a Spanish club in New Jersey. An address in Odessa, Texas. It has an employee ID number. It zeroed out for assets and stuff. And in care of name, the officer and director is someone named Leo de Hoyos. And it's a religious organization.
Yes.
Principles, activities, church, synagogue, blah, blah, blah. This is really just that it's registered. There's something else that's been from the 70s in Yuba City, California, but that looks like something different. So what is it? What is it?
There are several things. They run houses to where these kids will go to as like little stash houses. It's a safe place, like where it's a handoff from the governments from Mexico to America or America, Mexico, because they're on both sides there. Right. So it's just another branch of the cartel having control over their assets.
You're telling me that this organization that supposedly, because I don't know if this is their website. Now I'm on something else. Casa de Esperanza at casahope.org.
Yes.
And there are several of them. Yes.
So, yes. And this literally is, they have gift acceptance information, funding, privacy statement. And then it goes down. I saw something about us. Casa de Esperanza.
Orphanages located in Tijuana.
De Los Niños strives to break the cycle of child abuse and neglect for at-risk infants, children, and their families by providing comprehensive residential and family support programs that transform people and communities. They are accredited by the Better Business Bureau, which is a total scam in itself. I own two businesses. Let me tell you something, everybody listening and watching about the Better Business Bureau. People think, literally, especially elderly people,
oh, big time.
They think the Better Business Bureau is some sort of government agency that like regulates businesses. It is a private company. So I have my two businesses. I took they're not accredited with the Better Business Bureau anymore because they wanted, first they were charging me $800 a year to be accredited, to use their logo, to be on their website, to have that A+ rating. And then if you pay a little more, you can have complaints go away. And then it went to $1,200 because they wanted to put it on their website and whatnot. So Better Business Bureau is pay to play. If you're going to pay, then you can actually be an accredited a business. It's just
get an A+ rating. Be given an A+ rating because you pay.
And a lot of people don't know that about the Better Business Bureau. So here on the website, they have a mailing address and they have a phone number. 713 area code. They have an email, casa@casahope.org. They have a mailing address. It's a P.O. box in Houston, Texas. And then they have a physical address in a building in Houston, Texas. And
if you search Sasebo, Arizona, Tucson, Arizona, put that behind Casa de la Esperanza.
Alan. So they're from what we're learning, they all are all linked.
Yes, they're all connected. This is the one I had the direct contact with.
So what you're saying is children that are going to these safe houses are...
They get them first.
They're not safe in these safe houses is what you're saying.
No.
Correct.
Yeah, this is it. A place from Casa de Esperanza Residential Care Home in Tucson, Arizona. A place for mom.com is their website. And it looks like
Have the monarch butterfly for their symbol on their
It's pretty much the same branded website as the other one. And you know, you go to it and it's like, wow, it's,
but I bring that up because it's been confirmed through the sources that we know, that same things occur in Texas as well.
And they're listed basically on Google as an assisted living facility in Tucson, Arizona.
Assisted living facility, just to trend, you know.
And you know, I mean, let's face it, people. You can't be surprised at this.
Open borders.
If you are, you have to open your eyes and realize that these NGOs, these non-government organizations that are being funded, by the way, with our tax dollars through some of these massive, massive spending bills that the Democrats were crashing through, that they literally, these NGOs, non-government organizations funded by you privately through the government, they are being funded to traffic children. People get mad at me when I say, hey, congratulations, you're paying your taxes. You are complicit in human trafficking because we're
paying. Yeah, 100%. Yep.
Because we're paying for it.
I concur.
We are 100% paying for it.
That is not an argument. That is a fact.
I'm not.
Government.
I don't give them shit. I don't ask for permission for nothing.
Our government is funding it.
All right. Very good. It's disgusting. It's happening on all levels in every industry. There's so many ways that this is being facilitated. And they quietly released the finder's information from the FBI vault a couple years ago, finding out that the schools had tunnels underground and they were actually trafficking children under the ground in tunnels.
Where was that?
The finders. It was the FBI vault released it.
Where were they?
I think it was the Franklin Institute. Hmm. I'll send you the link right now.
It's wild. So what does the future hold for Stay in the Light, Stay in the Fight? What do you guys got going on? You know, anything, say for 2023, any projects? Is it just about fundraising at this point? Are you getting involved in getting any facilities going, or what's next?
Yeah, so Brandy and Georgiana got me on hold a little bit, right? But just fund-wise, we want to put on a fundraiser to do that, right? And I want to go back to New Braunfels where it all started, the Trump train out there with Joe Lynn and them, right? And that community. And it's about, with me, it's always been about we are the solution, right? So if we want something different, we create something different and we participate in that community. And that's what was so beautiful about that Trump train in New Braunfels is they got involved. They ran for politics.
Yeah.
Right. They started becoming part of their school boards. They started going to commissioners. They started having revival. And when all the churches closed down, they were running services at their houses and the community was coming together and they were saying, fuck you, I'm not going to wear a mask. No. You know what I mean? We're not conforming. And it was beautiful.
Terrorist, right? School board meeting.
So we're going to go back there and, you know, I'm involved with Victor Avila, who wrote that book, Agent Under Fire, worked for Border Patrol and got gunned down on the border, and his partner died in his arms. Met him, and he started mentoring me through this, right? Exposing these cartels. When I first met James down at For Patriot Roundup down there in Vegas, he was a speaker there as well. And I asked him, I was like, hey, I need some help here. I've never walked through this. You know, I'm about to expose because I was part of something. Operation 1009 and some people that were involved in it, I found out they were all had one degree of separation from cartel.
Yeah, that's right? One thing you have to worry about. And having one of these organizations like yours, a legitimate organization, is vetting the people that you let in to be part of the organization, because you don't know. These cartels are so good with their moles and their informants and their infiltrators that as observant as you think you might be, you may never know. And it's really sad to say, is you may never know someone you take a liking to and they're helping you with the organization and it appears they're doing good things, that they really have a really evil, nefarious agenda on trafficking children and or getting information. Just the valuable information that they could get on how your organization operates and runs so that they can go back to the cartel and tell their operations so they can
disrupt that and try to gear it in a way that they need it and get you off path. And yeah, so that's why we created Stay in Light, Stay in the Fight from, you know, scratch.
So we have the best people to be able to check out everything that we can. We have private investigators to do all of that. Alan, we definitely will not let just someone walk in and start working with children. Everyone must be vetted, especially.
It's very important.
Absolutely important. It's the first thing we have to think about.
Transparency and accountability, right? That's the whole part of it. We have to hold people accountable. If the behavior is not accepted, we don't allow them to continue to do that behavior in our community.
And that's why we're aligning with Shepherd's Watch. You know, they've got the investigators. They've got the boots on the ground that's already looking at the trafficking that happens in small town Texas.
All the licensings, the relationships.
The licensings, yes, all the authorities.
They know how to, like Brandy said earlier, to, you know, hold them accountable and get them charged.
Yeah.
Right. And not off the hook to gather the evidence and really turn that over and build the case. And so
you're giving it to a law enforcement agency that's going to take it seriously and you guys seriously.
Yes.
You have your vetted law enforcement that you know you can, and you got yours that you know you can't pass it on because it'll go nowhere.
Yeah. Hey, definitely don't turn anything over to the FBI because you know what'll happen there.
We're going to go out to the Braunfels here in the next month or two, and we're going to have speakers, you know, have Victor Avila come out, and we're going to do like a training day.
Yeah.
Right. To show the community what to look for. Have Dottie Lasser, she actually busted Laura Gaylor from the Clintons within the Haiti thing and all that trafficking. Laura Silsby. Yes. Right. So Dottie has wrote a book. It's called 55 Things Parents and Grandparents Need to Know. And it talks about the internet and the trafficking and how the kids are set up through these Instagram and TikToks and all these accounts and, you know, and how they target them and, you know, what to look for and to shut different things to shut them down. And so we'll have like speakers out there. We'll have some entertainment just to, you know, get funds. We've already had a fifth wheel donated where that's going to be like a trauma center, like a mobile trauma unit.
So that's right. That's one of the parts of that project that we're going to be involved with Shepherd's Watch is not only will we transform a room in the Children's Advocacy Centers, we also want to have, preferably we would like to have one forensic RV per place, but we may have to go per county because, you know, some you might have two or three centers per county. But we want to have a forensic RV as well in each area so that we can go out to those children who are in rural areas and can't get them to us.
Can't stop going into
it. No, another thing, and I don't know if this was part of what you're doing. You know, remember as a kid, at least it was around where I am in New York when I think I was in elementary school. And have you fill out these forms. I forget what they were called. They were almost like IDs. They would take your picture and you'd have an ID on it. Like this was my ID to make sure I'm safe with all my parents' contact information on it. Like if you're
helping, the child cards.
Yeah. There was a name for it over by me and I don't remember what it was, but maybe like almost like a database. And I don't know the legalities of this because we're dealing with minors and children, but if these unaccompanied minors are coming or you happen to have any unaccompanied minors and you're dealing with children in that cartel trafficking realm is a system. It doesn't have to be elaborate, but a Polaroid shot of the kids and you try to get as much of the pedigree as you can from that child, their name and their date of birth, if the information is even real or legit, because I'm also imagining that some of the older kids that are old enough to be asked questions, 12, 13 years old, that they're coached on what to say and maybe give fake information to authorities, law enforcement, or just strange adults that aren't involved in the cartel.
Strange danger.
Well, what you see in these videos, these kids would pull out this white piece of paper, Alan.
Yeah.
And it was crisp. And they're reading you their sponsor's numbers with the name to call them. Like it was just handed to them as they're walking across.
And like you're doing, you're keeping information of the sponsors and the addresses and phone numbers and gathering all the information you can. But it as you guys grow bigger and get more funding, it would be, I think, a great service to the children and you guys to help more is you're going to have a contact with a child for a day or two, and then they're going to end up, whether it's in a facility, they're going to end up with the authorities and wherever they're placed, where now you have a Polaroid and hopefully some information of that child, and maybe between you guys having it and whatever law enforcement has, then maybe there's that. I don't know how it would work, a follow-up, but you have like, you have a sheet on each child you make contact with.
That's going to be that'll be a part of the forensic investigation.
Good.
Yes, and as part as the so the advocacy centers, we can have kids can be there for 4 months, 6, 8, 9 months until there's a safe place for them to go.
Right.
It's no different than if I call in and say, "Hey, my buddy James said he's going to shoot some shit up."
Right.
He's mental. They have to have a hold on him until they release him.
That's not true.
No.
High FBI. That's not true. Crazy asshole.
I have a hold on him, right?
For would absolutely hours. Not advocate for any violence.
until they said, okay, he's safe to go back into the community, into himself and to the community.
Right.
So these kids, when they come in and with these sane nurses, they're going to be able to be the ones that say, "Hey, this kid isn't safe," right? And until a safe place is found, a home or some organization, they stay there, right? And the vision creates some healing, right? Use some like, you know, sweat lodges, some different prayers, like really start that process of healing and getting them ready to come into the community, right? And strengthening them, because what happens in that sexual assault it breaks you down, right? And you just the ripples are destructive for the rest. It's healed. Yeah. Right? It's been there's so much trauma behind it, and it's so detrimental to like just be a part of that solution, right? And just be there. And we have people that just want to be there, and they just want to help, right? And that's what we're going to do. We're going to create that. And I don't know what it looks like. I'm going to let God like continue to reveal it.
And so, what we would really need is for, you know, anyone who is a registered nurse and quit working and is looking for something to do that where they don't have to, you know, get their shots and they don't have to do all the things. Go to Stay in the Light, Stay in the Fight, and join the fight. Let us know where you're at. Let us know what area, because these advocacy center rooms that we transform, we're going to start in Texas. We already have a pilot program that's about to start up. We haven't mentioned that yet. There is a pilot program that is starting up. So it will already be, we will have a template to go by. But we're going to go out to all of these advocacy centers starting in Texas in all counties and start contacting them and getting those rooms transformed. And our goal is to transfer it out throughout the United States.
Yeah, we want to be that light. We want to be the ones in that situation to be able to say, hey, no, this isn't cool. This is how we're going to do that. And the only way we do that is if we're involved, right?
And for everybody, again, it's Stay in the Light, Stay in the Fight.com. And you can you go right to the page and go to contact, fill out the contact form, which I have on the screen now, or their email is info@stayinthelightstayinthefight.com. But it's just go to the website, you fill out the contact form. If you want to help in some way, like Brandy just said, if you're a nurse, you know, maybe you're a psychologist.
Researches.
Maybe you don't even know, you know.
Maybe you just want to help, you know.
Help in any way. You know.
And one thing I want to say, too, with the human trafficking that we're starting to focus on more, not just the general mission of Stay in the Light, but the truth that's the trafficking part. You know, if you see something, definitely say something and call your local law enforcement. But if you have an area that you feel our awareness program will be received and people need it, put it down there. You know, once we get the awareness program rolled out, we are looking to be able to, and that's where funding comes in, because these trips cannot be made, you know, on our own private funds. But we want to go throughout the United States and roll this out. We, regardless of the border, this is going to continue. We have to educate everyone, but what makes us different is we are boots on the ground as well.
Yeah.
So if there's anything you see that, you know, that can help the children, please reach out to us.
And you have a donate page right on the site. Go under Join the Fight and hit donate. We have it here. They have Venmo, PayPal, Zelle.
There's also a cool store. You go to the store.
Yeah, and there's a merchandise store.
We got some pictures of Justin on there too, some cannabis and combat flags. We're going to have the Pure Blood and all that up there here soon now that me and James are hanging out. We're going to get through that. And
sweet.
Yeah, I mean.
But that's all that helps that, man, so we can get involved in the communities, right?
Yeah, it's all 100% tax deductible. But if you want to, you know, if you want merchandise instead of donation, that still helps us as well.
It's
it doesn't have to be a monetary donation if you just want to get involved in any way. Like, you don't have to have money to be able to help out.
All you can do is pray for us. Pray for us.
So many things that you can
always
do.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe someone has questions. They want to know how to get involved. Maybe. Listen, honestly, just by sharing the website on your social media, if you're watching the show, listening to the show, just put on your social media, Stay in the Light, Stay in the Fight.com, and say, hey, check this organization out. They want to help children. It's free to share a website. You know, it's funny.
There's a lot. Oh, go ahead, Alan.
In anything, whether your friend owns a business, maybe you don't have a use for their service or their product, right? I talk about this a lot. Like, you know, you open a business. Like I have a small. I have a business that sells a product. It's cigars. And I have friends that are cigar smokers, right? But they have friends. And it's that saying is, you can't make a customer out of a friend, but you can make a friend out of a customer. Because most of my friends that smoke cigars, they have yet to buy any of my cigars from my cigar company. But I'm not mad at that. But I tell people, if you don't have a use for the business that your friend might have, what you should be doing is blasting out your friend's business to everyone you know. Because they're your friend and they have a business. And you'd be surprised. I think 95% of people don't do it. Like, your friend has a business and you don't have a use for the product, so you don't think about it. Meanwhile, you might know 100 people, and 50 of those people might have a use for that product.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing. It costs nothing to advertise on your social media to put a thing out there. So put this website on there.
There's also in the homepage, there's a lot of resources, a lot of videos, a lot of court documents, a lot of stuff on, you know, satanic ritual abuse, a lot of stuff on like really hard topics. You know what I mean? Different stuff of that sort. And the sauce to go with that. So there's a lot of information on there as well.
We got someone in the chat who's talking about the, actually, I think, is that a friend of yours, Chuck? Was that one of your guys?
Chuck?
No? Oh, okay. No. I thought he was one of you guys in the chat.
I think it was Chuck's birthday.
It's a different one. But if you want cigars, Chuck, it's my company. It's mypatriotcigars.com. Use promo code WPRUSA and you get 15% off.
They're unbelievable smokes. They're great. The Mark 48 is my favorite. I can literally smoke them. What is that? A Hellfire?
It's doing a little Hellfire action. There they are.
Yeah, that's a heavy cigar. I like, it's very flavorful. I enjoy it for like the first half of the smoke, but halfway through, I'm like, nope, too heavy for me. I could do that in two sessions. Yeah, I'm a bitch.
This is my third Hellfire today.
Of course.
Atta boy.
And I have to go to a cigar event tomorrow where I'll probably smoke one of the four cigars at the event.
Yeah, if that was a Hellfire, the Mark 48, I could do that all day. I could smoke
Chuck, the firefighter. I didn't recognize your last name for some reason, Chuck.
I remember our listeners, Chuck. You're on Alan's page instead of my page, where I remember who the people are tuning in. But no.
Jewel in the chat. She's been in the chat the whole night in Facebook. She said she'll buy some shirts. So you go ahead. So go over to standthefight.com and you can check out the merchandise page. I'm gonna throw the website in the Facebook chat right now. So you could just click it and I think I did it.
I think I did.
Yeah, there it is. You have the
I'll be honest with you.
I'm not a retard. Come on, turn to the frogs game. Oh, that's great. Listen, as we wrap up, we got to get everybody to check out your website. Where on social media can everybody find you guys?
I'm on Facebook. I stay in the battlefield. I'm so censored. I'm on like my 10th account on Borders Angels. We're on Telegram. We have a couple channels on Telegram. I'm still, Elon hasn't let me back on Twitter and, you know, activated my account again with all that.
So, I need to email him. He probably will.
Yeah, I tried that. They still haven't, but we'll see.
I see slowly but surely every day new accounts popping up saying, yeah, I've been banned for 2 years, I'm back. Been banned for 2 years, I'm back. Been banned for 3 years, I'm back. So
I'm just a little fish. So we'll
I wasn't banned, but you can't fucking find me ever anywhere. I was banned on other platforms, not on Twitter specifically. Because I never liked Twitter. But now it's supposedly free and fair.
Supposedly. We'll see.
Rumble preferred and Telegram.
I think, is that what it is? 1,000 subs on Rumble, we can live from there.
100 subs on Rumble, we can live stream from there. So if everyone will go to StayInLightStayInFight.com and subscribe to our Rumble channel at the bottom, then we can start going live and doing updates on Rumble as soon as we get 100 subs.
Yeah, Rumble is,
followers.
It's slow growing, but it's a needed platform because now people can go and find find shows like ours and like yours, Brandy, to just, you know, that we're not allowed on YouTube.
Nope.
Is what it is. But yeah, it's crazy. But
it's out in these streets.
So come to Drag Queen Story Hour with us. Come to our border trips. We go out there and we show that in its entirety, you know, on whatever platforms we can get on, and it's what we do.
Yeah.
Yes.
We got our first troll on the site. I could never share this disgusting site. The language is disgusting. You do sound like
I'm reading it.
Well, Kathy, it is Friday, and I'm gonna tell you to go fuck yourself, Kathy.
On Freedom Friday.
I am unapologetic, and I am a Republican. I'm a proud Republican. You must be a Democrat that likes to murder babies and complicit in human trafficking and child trafficking. You are a disgusting individual, and I am going to ban you from the page, you evil bitch. Ban
you. You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wow, to experience that live.
You are not going to come on my page. Being funny. So now, is she a friend of yours? Did I just completely just go off on her? She's being funny? She said it was a disgusting sight. I don't think that was funny. I think she's coming at us. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But you know what? It is what it is. We're sitting here talking about the evils of human trafficking and child trafficking and what they're doing to these kids, and you're going to come on and say it's a disgusting sight and the language is disgusting and that we do sound like Republicans? Or maybe she could put in that was sarcasm, Jewel, because you know what? Not today. Fuck her.
Not when you're talking about those kinds of subjects. Normally on this page, we're joking around and trying to make light of certain situations. This is not a situation that's okay to make light of at all. It's a very difficult situation to talk about. Let alone get involved in, like Brandy and Jason are so heavily involved in. And it's why we give them so much credit. And we're so thankful for people like them, because not many can do that kind of work. It's very hard. It's hard for people to even talk about. And we're very thankful that there are brave American patriots that are willing to go down to the border and go meet with these children that are way less fortunate than many and put in a situation that no children should ever be put in. It's absolutely disgusting and evil. So yeah, go to stayinthelightstayinthefight.com. Buy some merch, donate, get involved any way that you can, whether it's just sharing their page or donating or working with them directly and in your area to help fight against these evils that we're up against.
Come slay some of these demons with us.
Let us know where we're needed, and we will go.
I want to thank you guys.
Yeah, we do. Jaquan Doe.
Look, you think I'm lying?
I'll tell you. I'm ready for another Vegas trip.
I'll tell you a story one day how I got this bear claw.
Oh, this guy's fucking
I took one claw from the bear, Alan.
Jaquan Doe.
Jason literally fought a bear, killed it, won the fight, and then took one of
them. I let it live.
That's why he doesn't fight.
He let it live for an hour.
I took one nil.
I see.
I said, you know what? You're going to think about what you did next time. You're not going to be able to support them Cubs. So, at that one claw, Jaquan Doe style, we fight bears and shit. Come fight bears with us.
I like it. All right, everybody. I think it was another successful Freedom Friday.
Thank you guys so much for having us.
Absolutely. I'm glad you guys got to come. Brandy finally get to get on the show after being in the chat every single week.
Finally,
And love what you guys are doing and keep up the great work. And we'll definitely do this again.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Listen, go and share the video on Facebook. Hit the share button. Subscribe on Rumble. Check out Stay in the Light, stayinthefight.com. And we'll be back on Monday, right? This Monday for
our last Monday Madness for a while.
Last Monday Madness for a while. And then we'll be back on Tuesday, We the People Radio at 8:30 p.m. So it is it's the weekend. So enjoy yourselves and we'll see you soon.
Yep.
All right,
Patriots.
Stay in the light and stay in the fight. God bless.
Take care.